joined by Ryan Dunsmore from BattleRedBlog.com. Catch him on Twitter at D_more55. Ryan, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, appreciate you joining us here. Give us a little insight. Houston, Carolina last night. Some takeaways from that game.
Well, the first thing I think everyone will want to talk about is Deshaun Watson. Got almost, I think, three quarters of play there. Looked really comfortable. I was most impressed with it. It seemed like Bill O'Brien kind of gave him some things to get comfortable with here first. A few easy throws, and then just really did something that Texan fans haven't seen in probably the entirety of the franchise history. A quarterback that can extend a play with his legs. It was really impressive to see how, really, I hate to be redundant, but he looked extremely comfortable in a system that, I mean, it's really surprising to see that from a quarterback this early in a system that especially be as productive as he was. I really feel like you're going to see Watson as soon as possible as you can in the Texans' starting lineup here after just one preseason game here.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because David Carr was on the broadcast on the NFL Network afterwards saying he believes they should still hold Watson out and let Savage at least start the season. Are you under the same belief of that, or do you think Deshaun Watson's ready to go?
I think if you want to go the safe route, yeah, sure, you go with Tom Savage here. But if you're willing to adjust your playbook to fit Deshaun Watson, at least in the beginning of the season here, and slowly building what the Texan system is here, I think there's no reason you can't go with him early here. He's shown enough in this one game. If he can build on that in the next three preseason games, I really wouldn't say what's the point of holding off on the Deshaun Watson era starting in Houston.
Ryan, it's Jim Rodriguez. Obviously, Deshaun Watson looked pretty good. Tom Savage, only about three series, he looked good during the no-huddle part of it. Behind the quarterback, the running back situation, it seems like the Texans are in pretty good shape with a good two-headed monster there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you saw behind Lamar Miller here, you saw a lot of success from both Alfred Blue and Foreman there running the ball. And really, both of them had successful runs in a period of time during the game here. I was really impressed. I think of anything that of any position on the field right now, it seems like running backs pretty much set for the Texans.
And that defense, obviously, that's the one thing that I think when you think the Texans, you think defense, you think J.J. Watt, and you kind of hold your breath. How is he after another back issue, after another surgery? Is it sort of like we don't know, or is he ready to go? You know, what is the J.J. Watt situation?
Yeah, right now he's been a full participant during training camp. He did what he needed to do in that first preseason game here. He had his series. He got out. He's healthy. I think that was a victory. You really aren't going to see what potentially he can do, probably until even – he may not even see it until week one of the regular season, but you may see it in the preseason game three or four there. But it's good to see him be a full participant because even if he is not 99% J.J. Watt, he's at least 85-90, and he's gonna be able to set up the opportunities for Whitney Mercilus, Jadeveon Clowney, Victor Cunningham here that just recently drafted, the guys that are going to make a big impact in that linebacker level and defensive end position. He draws enough attention. The league won't have adjusted until midway through the season if he's not 100%.
Ryan Dunsmore on with us, BattleRedBlog.com. Right, with the receivers, because last night Deshaun Watson, and the name is slipping me right now, had a receiver target number 18, and he was going to him a lot. Are they building that chemistry on the field during preseason? Is that something that might help that young man make the team?
I think so. I think Dress is a recent addition here to the team here for a free agency. I think he has the kind of skills that Deshaun likes here. A guy who streaks up the sideline here, has a little of that speed element here. I don't necessarily see him as a guy that breaks into the rotation if Will Fuller is healthy, but he may be a guy that can help fill that hole with Fuller out for 2 to 3 months.
Now, the Texans, Ryan, obviously playoff team, haven't seemed to be able to get over that hump. In other words, they win that wild card game and then fall in the division series and in the divisional game. That's exactly what happened last year. They beat a Raiders team that was banged up, and they got hit from pillar to post in New England. the schedule seems to be kind of, I don't know how to make what to make of the schedule. It starts with four of the first six games at home, but it ends with four of your last six games on the road. What kind of season is this going to be for the Texans? Is the schedule going to be that much of an issue?
I don't necessarily know if the schedule is going to be an issue. I think you're hitting the nail on the head. It's going to be a rough end to the season there. I'm more worried about some of the personnel moves that they made in the offseason. You're not really upgrading the secondary. It seems like that's something that showed a little bit during the preseason game last night. I'm more worried about the roster construction necessarily than the schedule here, because right now it seems like, if you can say anything about the Texans, they have built a culture there that something like that won't necessarily affect them. Made the right moves, and the coaching staff believe too much in themselves to be able to make the most out of some players that have not necessarily been the most productive over the past few seasons.
How is the relationship, the head coach-GM relationship? Obviously, we heard some rumblings that Bill O'Brien was going to leave.
Yeah, I think that has been a very strong storyline. I don't think we're ever going to find that out necessarily until someone actually does leave. I don't think it's been perfect. I think somehow the Deshaun Watson pick has kind of quieted that down here. I don't know which side won the tug of war with that, but it seems like that storyline has gone away with Watson being selected. Before that, I feel like there's always been this level of tension that's been created, because simply it doesn't seem like they're on the same page when it comes to that quarterback position in general. And really, I think Watson can solidify this. The front office and the head coaching job there going beyond just the football field.
My question, a good story that I was looking at last night. David Quisenberry.
Yeah, great story.
Three years out, gets to come back last night. The family surprises him there. Can you tell us a little bit about this, the whole thing with the team and the battle that he's been going through?
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a guy. Quisenberry's been around the team the entire time since he's been diagnosed with cancer here. He hasn't even been able to play for any period of time with the Texans so far, and that's really getting his first game action here. Last night, it's just a victory in itself here. It seems like he actually has a legitimate shot to make this roster and really can help this team out. So it's just great to see that he was put in the situation where he is in a city where is known for its cancer treatment, to be able to take advantage of that, come off the cancer treatment. Even it was great at the place where he was getting treatment. It went a little viral here. There's a bell that you ring once you've gotten diagnosed cancer-free. He ripped that bell right off the wall when he rang it. For him to come back and be able to be contributing to this team is such a great story.
Yeah, absolutely. And kudos to the Texans for, you know, sticking by him and supporting him. Does that sort of bring a team together? I mean, I know he's not necessarily a starter, but when you have that element in camp, does that create even more of a bond?
I think so. I think what it helps also that there's that family aspect to a football team, and that helps build that kind of aspect in that even with all the ruthlessness that is the NFL football, you see an ownership that's willing to support a guy for 3 years basically not even helping the team out, but finding a way to make sure he's getting an income and being supported by the team. And so, even if he didn't have, I'm pretty sure Bob McNair would have found a way to take care of him, even if he couldn't come back and help the football team. It wasn't about that. It was about helping a guy that had a tough break in his life.
Now, this getting back to on the field, this division, the AFC South, it almost seemed like nobody wanted to win it last year. I mean, we were kind of surprised when we had two teams, the Titans and the Texans, that actually were above 500. Those seem to be the class of this division, and the Colts, we kind of don't know what's going to happen there. In the Jags, well, they're the Jags. We talk about the NFC South probably being one of the best divisions in football. The AFC South, it's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I'm going to say is the tide keeps rising with the AFC South. Even the Jaguars, they're going to have a really stout defense, and they've got a guy they can lean on in Fournette that definitely could be a bell cow that could lift them into, not even close to 500, but something at least competitive. And then we're all being down on the Colts, but they still have Andrew Luck. No matter what happens, you've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And for that to be all four teams being that competitive, the Texans cannot lean on whipping in this division and making a playoff spot. In past few years, they've gone through and been 5-1, 6-0, 4-2, very productive against the division, and use that to be able to be the springboard in the playoffs. The Texans definitely can't do that this year.
Right. Question about this locker room, okay? Because I saw it last night. Deshaun Watson scores. Everybody over there congratulating. We said, you know, they could decide to take it slow with them, or they could try to get them and get the Watson era underway. Is there any chance that there could be a division in this locker room over the quarterback situation, or will it just go straight to Watson if Savage does bad?
I think they will go to Watson if Savage struggles, but I don't think there's going to be any division around it, because I think Savage has proven that he's a guy that has earned it, at least with this shot. That now, does the team want to see Watson as quarterback? I think absolutely. I think you saw that last night here. A lot of the defense was actually watching when Watson was out there to play, because they wanted to see what he was doing. I think the team really is invested on seeing Watson succeed. I don't think there's any negativity right now. I'm just having him watch and learn right now, especially because you have a guy like Savage. If it was Brock Osweiler and say he wasn't coming in on a nasty contract, there'd be more division.
Okay.
how much of a distraction? I hate to use the word cancer, especially with the Quisenberry story. But how much of a coach killer was Brock Osweiler?
I think what it is, you got a guy who came in and you pay him that money basically off of a half of a season, and he comes in and not necessarily. I don't think he ever gelled with anybody on the team. He was it's kind of that outsider looking in kind of mentality here, and he was happy to get his paycheck and always a super positive about his play and never really kind of improved. I mean, it was tough to see that you have to go to this guy because you paid him so much, and he just wasn't living up to the billing. I mean, you can imagine that if any one of your co-hosts or anybody was getting paid twice as much as you are, and
yeah,
not
Sean
performing or showing up, I imagine there'd be some tension that builds.
Well, I can relate to that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. As you can see, we both just started looking at each other as you were talking.
Real quick, Ryan, over under 8.5 for the Texans. What do you see?
Over, and that's 9. Nine is the plateau.
9 is always a good number with the Texans. Hey, Ryan, thanks a lot, man. It's Ryan Dunsmore. He writes for Battle Red Blog. You can follow Ryan at D_More55. Thanks for hanging out with us today, man.
Thanks for having me on.